Good evening. Welcome to our Independence Day program. Nice to have each of you here with us this evening. And we are going to seek to give thanks to the Lord and to remember what we in America have to appreciate: a free nation, a nation where God's word goes forth freely. And when you and I have freedoms that most others in the world don't have, what I'm saying is that ours go beyond theirs in many, many ways. Freedoms of speech, freedom to worship, and again, we are a blessed, blessed people. We're going to start this evening with 576, the Star-Spangled Banner, and ask you to stand as we sing this, and then remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Number 576, we'll be singing just the first verse.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, it proved through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say
Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, and you may be seated. I'd like to call on our brother Richard Caldwell to open the service in prayer. Brother Richard Caldwell.
Father, we do thank you for this opportunity we have to celebrate our Independence Day. We have so much to be thankful for. We're thankful that we have a nation that we do have freedom of religion. We thank you that we have a nation that has been blessed by God. We have so much riches compared to other countries. We have so much to be thankful for. We thank you that we have the opportunity to gather freely and not be challenged by government or other officials. We thank you for all you provide for us. We thank you for this evening, this time that we have to hear your word and to hear about our nation. We thank you that all we do will glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I have a reading here. This the title of which is, I am the flag of the United States of America. I am the flag of the United States of America. I was conceived in dreams of liberty and in hopes of freedom. I was designed by the hands of Betsy Ross, and her sewing basket was my cradle. Though I was adopted by the Continental Congress in 1777 and proclaimed the national emblem of a nation newly born on this continent, fighting valiantly for survival and destined to bring to all mankind a new concept of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I have been many places and seen many things. I have witnessed every event of American history. I was there when they fired the shot that was heard around the world. I was there in the late twilight at Fort McHenry and inspired Francis Scott Key to write the immortal Star-Spangled Banner, now our national anthem. I saw Molly Pitcher take the cannon swab from the hands of her dead husband and carry on the fight for freedom. I felt the biting cold of Alley Forge and gave warmth and comfort to George Washington and his tired and hungry Continental Army. I rode with Ethan Allen and the Green Mountain Boys. I saw the signal that started the midnight ride of Paul Revere. I was flown from above the decks of Old Ironsides and from the masts of the Yankee and China Clippers. I blazed the trail with Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett. I led the settlers going west and crossed Death Valley in a covered wagon. I was carried through the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli by the United States Marines. Once I fell to the ground at Custer's last stand, and there were no living hands left to pick me up. I galloped up the slopes of San Juan Hill and Teddy Roosevelt with Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders of the United States Cavalry. I stayed with the boys until it was over there, and on the battlefields of the Marne, St. Michael, and the Aragon Forest. I saw many of the young men of our nation fall and lie still in death. They had given their last full measures of devotion. The war was over for them forever, and I kept my lonely vigil over their graves and stayed to watch the poppies grow amid the crosses, row on row, on Flanders Field. I was raised by five brave men during the Battle of Iwo Jima. I waved farewell to the four immortal chaplains who went down with their ship, having given their life jackets to others on the ship. I landed with our troops at Anzio, and I was with those who went up Porkchop Hill. I was in Korea and in the rice paddies of Vietnam. I introduced Saddam Hussein to the Desert Storm. I even went to the moon with the astronauts, and I stand there as a reminder of the Yankee determination to catch and pass any nation that tries to outdo my people. I am many things to many people. I am protected by the mighty land armies of the nation, the powerful and deadly fleet of the Navy, and the screaming eagles of the Air Force, watching and waiting to sweep down and destroy anything that would harm me. To some I am yesterday, today, and tomorrow. To others I am a glorious child. To some a grand old man or a most gracious lady. I have several names. I'm called the Red, White, and Blue, the Starred Spangled Banner, the Stars and Stripes, but I am most commonly known by a nickname given me by an old sea captain who called me Old Glory. I have not changed much in my 200 years. I still have my original 13 stripes, but as each state came into the Union, a new star was proudly added to the constellation of my blue field. It started with 13 stars. Now there are 50. Many more things I would like to tell you, but we haven't time. However, I do want to see you again. I am easy to find. I'm everywhere. I am in the homes of the poor, in the mansions of the rich, in Independence Hall with the Declaration of Independence and the Liberty Bell. I am in the White House with the President. I am in all the churches, cathedrals, and synagogues, in the Council of the Boy and Girl Scouts of America, in all the schools where they pledge allegiance to me. I draped the caskets of our national heroes, borne by their last rest to their last resting place, the caskets of presidents, generals, admirals, humble privates, and unknown soldiers. May history never write my obituary, for I am the Stars and Stripes forever. I am Old Glory. I'm going to sing number 572, and immediately following that, our brother Charles Roten is going to bring us a medley, and followed by our brother Carl Pfaff coming up and leading us in a reading of the Declaration of Independence. Number 572. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain, America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. I'll make it 1, 3, and 4 of number 572. 1, 3, and 4 of number 572.
Purple mountain majesties. Oh.
Wells, followed by Carl Pfaff.
Thank you, Charles. We're going to read the Declaration of Independence. I don't know if any of you have ever done this before, but I will try to keep from conducting a worldview class on this. But just to keep in mind, you will read things in here that will catch your attention because they're not taught in your schools. And you will see things when we get to the list of complaints and grievances against the country we left. Think on those things and try to reflect on the words you hear from the lips of current politicians. You might be surprised. Okay. The Declaration of Independence. Read along with me. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whatever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to effect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. He has refused to assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people, unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records, for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time, after such dissolutions, to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose obstructing the laws of naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage the mitigation hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices, the amount and payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices hither and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislature. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving assent to their acts of pretended legislation, for quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by mock trial from punishment of any for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government, and enlarging its borders enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule in these colonies, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments, for suspending our own legislature and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burned our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny, already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy the head of a civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall by themselves by their hands. He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages whose known rule of warfare is undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be a ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting attention to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our emigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They, too, have been deaf to the voice of justice and of We must, therefore, acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the great state of Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
Thank you, Carl, and thank you for joining in that reading. I would dare say that most of us may have never read or heard the Declaration of Independence in its entirety. Our nation built upon that, and it was good to be able to do it together tonight. We are thankful for the songs which remind us of our nation and also remind us of our nation's dependence upon God. Samuel Francis Smith was in his last year of seminary and very poor. To make ends meet, he accepted literary work. And that is how it came about that musician Lowell Mason asked him to translate some German verses for a songbook he was preparing. Among the tunes he handed Smith was a German patriotic hymn, "God Bless Our Native Land." When Smith read it, he immediately felt that the United States also needed a stirring national poem. Writing on scraps of paper in February 1832, he finished within 30 minutes a poem he titled "America." Mason published it. On this day, July 4th, 1832, the children's choir of Park Street Congregational Church in Boston sang it at a Sunday school celebration. Beginning with the now familiar words, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty," it gained immediate popularity. One leader commented that since it was strong in simplicity and deep trust in God, children and philosophers can repeat the hymn together. Every crisis will hear it above the storm. The best of the lines firmly plants our freedoms in God. "Our Father's God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing." Smith eventually composed 150 hymns during his life, but it is for America that he is best remembered. We're going to sing that together. It's number 571. It's entitled "My Country, 'Tis of Thee," in our hymn book. Again, he entitled his poem "America," but the words are the same, and so we'll sing that together. Number 571, "My Country, 'Tis of Thee."
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims bright, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. My name,
if he would come at this time and share with us special number and song.
The original Star Spangled Banner, as we know, was written by Francis Scott Key in September 14, 1814, while aboard a British-controlled truce ship, and he was witnessing the Battle of Fort McHenry. As we know, the song went on to become our national anthem. And though many don't realize, there is a second verse to this song as well. As a believer, I believe we have a higher calling of loyalty, and would also like to recognize a greater battle, the battle that was waged for our souls by none other than the Son of God. This is why I felt compelled to add a third verse to this great song. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? Oh, thus be it ever when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Oh, say can you see up on Calvary's dark hill stood an old rugged cross and the form of one dying. For our sins did he die. It is finished, he cried. He was sealed in the grave. Satan thought he had victory, but when Mary came there, angels said, he's not here, he's risen again, just like he had said. Yes, Jesus has conquered o'er sin, death, and hell. He's coming back for me, and he reigns eternally.
Thank you so much, Stephen, for sharing that with us and that verse that you wrote as well. We appreciate that, honoring the Lord Jesus. Again, we are thankful for music that speaks of our nation and also of the principles on which this nation was founded. We know that Not all of those founding fathers were true believers in the Lord Jesus, and obviously not all American citizens down through the years have trusted Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many find that. A few there be that find that way that's narrow, that leads to life. But how thankful we are for those of our forefathers who truly did know the Lord Jesus as Savior and left us a heritage not only of a free and independent nation, but also of a nation dependent upon God. We're going to sing together number 573 that speaks of the God of our fathers, whose almighty hand leads forth in beauty all the starry band. Number 573, God of our fathers.
God of our fathers, whose almighty hand leads forth in beauty all the starry band of shining worlds in splendor through the sky.
Singing. Thank the ladies for accompanying us tonight as well. We've asked our brother Jim Mayo if he would come and share some devotional thoughts from the Word of God at this time. So we'll turn it over to our brother Jim.
Happy birthday, America. You know, our founding fathers, and I use that word even though you can see that I might not have been in their thoughts when it was first done. If we look at a congregation like this, even though our forefathers were very intelligent, very smart, and had tremendous insight, as we can tell from our Constitution, it's wonderful to see the various peoples that are represented here tonight. We see that America is a work in progress. Not only that, but it opens its arms to not only natural-born citizens, but naturalized citizens. It allows those that are not from this land to come to this land and enjoy full citizenship. Even those that are not citizens can find themselves under the umbrella and protection of this land. What a wonderful country that we have. And it is right that we should love our country. We love our country because, as far as the countries on this earth, America alone has the vision for equality. It was based on equality. I love our country despite its pimples, despite its warts, despite its limping. We wish that our country can live out its creed. And we're headed in that direction. This is a work in progress, as I said. Would you please turn with me to Psalm 33. I looked on the internet some time ago and I saw a picture of George Washington crossing the Delaware. And of course he looked formidable standing in the ship, you know. I don't know how rocky he might have been, but the picture, he looks very steady. And there's a caption on that picture. And that caption is Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. So I went to the bookstore in Burlington and I was looking for that picture. I saw it on the internet, but I wanted to actually see it. But I didn't see that picture. They didn't have it. But what they did have was a pile of t-shirts. And that same scripture were on the various t-shirts. Now, Shirley wanted to buy me one of those, and I thought, that's kind of good. But I didn't know what our dress code was going to be tonight. So I maybe I'll get it tomorrow. I'm not sure, but we'll see if Shirley will buy it for me tomorrow. But as I read that, I read this scripture, I was struck by the fact that, unfortunately, there's another rendering of that verse. We in this country can get pretty cocky and believe that God alone has blessed us. The scripture tells us that God blesses the evil and the good. We aren't the only country in the world that is blessed by God. No doubt, as we sing America the Beautiful, God has shown grace to us, mercy to us as a nation. What I'd like to do, and I didn't start this. Is it? Well, we're starting now. Get some extra time. Depends on whose watch you're using. When we look at this verse, an alternate rendering of it, and I thought this was really great. And it speaks to us, as Mark had mentioned before, not every American is a believer. We would hope so. But you can't hide, as an American, you cannot hide behind a scripture and say that God has blessed this country and happy you should be because of that. In the scripture, in Psalms, he's speaking specifically of the nation of Israel. But that scripture is wide enough to include all who fulfill the desire of God concerning this. Here's an alternate rendering I offer to you. Happy are the people whom he has chosen as his special possession, because the Lord is their God. I'll repeat that. Happy are the people whom he has chosen as his special possession, because the Lord is their God. all believers are happy because they are the special possession of the Lord. Not everyone can say that. So my question tonight to us all is the Lord America's God? Is the Lord America's God? Are we acting in accordance to his desire or his will? We look and we see declension. We see decline. A better question is the Lord of the Bible, the God of Isaac, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is he your God tonight? Is he your God? You can't hide behind a scripture. It's got to have reality to it. Is the Lord in the scripture, as revealed by the Lord Jesus Christ, is he your God? Only if he is your God can we take advantage of what we find in the scripture concerning this verse. If you have your Bibles open to Psalm 33, let's just back away from verse 12 for a moment and look at verse 10. What do we read? The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. What we have here is God's omniscience. He knows the plans. He knows the schemes. He knows the plots that are designed to hurt his people. Go on to verse 11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. In Jeremiah, it says that I know the thoughts I have concerning you, to give you a future and a hope to his people. We find that the Lord here in verse 11 is all-knowing and he is faithful to all generations. And therefore, when we read verse 12, we see, blessed is the people or nation. You could say people instead of nation. Here it's the same word. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. The people he has chosen as his special inheritance. Tonight, I'd like to speak to those of us who are the special possession of the Lord God. We have a wonderful country here in America. We should be prophets here. We should understand that in the midst of what's going on in this country, we should be like Isaiah. We should recognize that we are unclean in our lips and we live amongst the people. We should be praying. We should be like Jeremiah. We should be crying out for our country. There's plenty of room to criticize America, but that doesn't change a thing. We change, not even by political movement. We change by being on our faces like prophets to pray and to cry out to God for change, one at a time, one soul at a time. Man's efforts mean little, whether it's political or otherwise. He can only do so much in terms of change. The Lord has judged all of the activities of this world. We, who are believers, should be happy because we are the special possession of a God who is omniscient and omnipotent. He knows what the designs are, and he will allow them not to come to pass. His thoughts will come to fruition, not the thoughts and desires of those that would do us harm. We live in a wonderful country. We can show that we really love America, not by merely bringing out the wonderful things that we have in our history. We can show our love for our country by being on our face before the Lord and crying out to God for change, to live our lives in a way that others would see us and desire to have what we have. Truly, this is a great country. There's much to be proud of, but much to pray for. What's interesting about our country as well? I seem to have more time than I thought I did. Oh, that had something to do with my changing the time. Okay. But seriously, our country is wonderful in that it opens its arms to all, whether they be yellow or brown, whether they be red or white or black, whatever. In theory, this should work smoothly. We know it doesn't really do that, but we should be pressing for it to happen. We should be praying. We should be prophets. I just add this, you know, just to bring this out for your consideration. To remember again, happy are the people whom he has chosen as his special possession because the Lord is their God. We should be happy people. We know who's going to win, don't we?
Thank you, Jim. We appreciate those thoughts very much, and makes us appreciate our country and also reminds us of our responsibility to pray. Paul told Timothy, first of all, we need to pray for those in authority that we might live quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. God desires that all would repent and come to know him personally. We're going to close our time in prayer. And we're going to give thanks. I'm going to ask Brother Ronnie Murdoch if he would close us. We want to thank the Lord for our time tonight, for our nation. Pray for our nation. And also, we have homemade ice cream that we'll be enjoying afterwards. You can thank the Lord for that too, brother, as you pray. But we'll go out and turn right, and then the first left will take us there into the kitchen area, and we'll see the various flavors, maybe red, white, and blue, and some other flavors as well, for which we're very thankful. But thank you for being here tonight. And celebrating with us together, great privilege to do that, to be in this great land and to have the privilege of going to God in prayer, to pray for our nation. So ask our brother Ronnie if he would close us.
Our Father, we thank you as we come into your presence that we do have the freedom to come before you. When we think of the freedoms that we have here in this country and we think of the many who have fought and given their lives to defend this country and the way that you have blessed and the way that you have guided this country in so many ways. Father, we just recognize it's just all of your grace, the pure grace of God that is upon us. And we are just so thankful that we are here tonight and we have the privilege of living here in this country with the freedoms that we do have and that we enjoy. And Father, we thank you for the freedom of the gospel going forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. And many of us who are here tonight that know the Lord Jesus as Savior, we have that because of the freedom that was given to be able to proclaim that gospel in our ears. Pray, Father, that you will help us to be faithful, to not take for granted the freedoms that we do have, but to use them in a way that honors the Lord Jesus Christ here. While you've given us the time that we have here on this earth and in this country to use those freedoms to proclaim the gospel. And Father, as we've been reminded to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and ask you to heal our land in the areas that need healing. We definitely have many areas in our land that need your working and your power. And so we ask you to do that, Father. We ask you to give us wisdom as citizens here of this country. To be responsible and to be a good example of what the Lord Jesus Christ does in our lives and the changes that he can make. Father, again, we're thankful for each one who's here. We do recognize there are many needs represented here in this room, many financial needs and physical needs, health concerns and job-related needs. And Father, we just commend each family who's here and each person represented here in this room. We thank you for each one. We thank you for blessing this assembly. We ask you, Father, to bless our time together as we meet to enjoy the ice cream and the refreshments. We thank you for those who have prepared it. We thank you for providing the food for us and for all the many blessings that you have poured out in our lives. We give you our thanks tonight, humbly, with gratefulness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.